Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
This is Mark Evans, and I play Robert in The Bridges of Madison County at Signature Theater.
Yes, it's going to be running at Signature Theater in Shirlington, Virginia. It's now through September 17th, so get your tickets. Hey, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure. Nice to meet you.
All right. So before we dive in, just in case, you know, in case someone maybe missed the old, you know, Clint Eastwood, Meryl Streep movie, or, you know, I guess it was actually a novel by Robert James Waller, even before the movie in 92, that book was 92, movie was 95. But in case they missed all of that or any of it, just hit them with the premise really quick, you know, who the main characters are, the basic setup.
Yeah, of course. So the story centers around Francesca, who is an Italian woman who moved to Iowa. The story actually is centered around in the 1960s, 1965, where her husband and two kids head off to an agricultural state fair in Indianapolis, an 8-hour drive away, and she decides to stay home. And during that time, my character, Robert Kincaid, who is a National Geographic photographer who's been assigned to go to their county and take pictures of the covered bridges, these famous covered bridges they've got there. And he can't find the seventh of the seven bridges. And so he stopped by the farm to ask for directions. Long story short, they have this wonderful, profound, illustrious love affair, and it changes the course of each of their lives quite dramatically. The score is by Jason Robert Brown, and I remember seeing the original Broadway production 10 years ago and was blown away by it, and that's the main reason I wanted to come down and do this production. The design of this production is completely unique. The audience sit on either side of the playing space down the middle, kind of like bleachers. And it's thrilling. Everybody feels like they're a part of this very, very intimate show in this 265-seater theater.
Now, you said that you saw the Broadway musical version on Broadway by Jason Robert Brown. Well, I guess the book was Marsha Norman, but the music and lyrics were Jason Robert Brown. Just memories of that really, really quick. Who was in the lead roles when you saw it?
Stephen Pasquale was playing Robert and Kelly O'Hara played Francesca. And apparently Jason Robert Brown wrote this show as sort of a vehicle for, not a vehicle, she didn't need it, but for a show for Kelly O'Hara, for her beautiful soprano voice. And I was actually watching it, ironically, signed off from another show on medical vocal rest for a week. And so to see something that had such a profound effect on me, I was like, oh, this is the kind of storytelling I want to do. So to hear, finally be age appropriate to play the role, I'm finally old enough to just old enough to play this role. It's a thrill to be able to sing this score and tell this very simple but beautiful story.
What show, if you don't mind me asking, what Broadway show or off Broadway or whatever were you in that you had to go on vocal rest when you bounced
scoring,
over and saw it?
I was touring with the Book of Mormon musical. I went to New York to just see some medical professionals there and they were like, yeah, you just need a break. Cause you know, the Broadway schedule performing 8 times a week, 5 show weekends is really tough. So it was nice to see something inspiring in the midst of all of that anxiety.
Right, right. Well, having seen the original cast, you know, how did you sort of, you know, get rid of Stephen Pasquale's or even Clint Eastwood, you know, his performance, the images of them out of your head? How did you sort of make and decide to make it your own? I mean, do you draw anything from them? But at the same time, I mean, you're your own person, so you got to make it your own. Yeah, just take me into that process a little bit.
Yeah, good question. It's tough when you've seen something and you admire it so much to not think of it as, you know, the finished product or the only version of it, right? And I am indebted to Ethan Hurd, our director here. He was just so wonderful in allowing us to make our own version of this and to bring ourselves to it. And, you know, I do a lot of acting teaching, and it's what I always say to my students. It's you in the given set of circumstances. So my approach is to really discover what all of the traits that Robert as a human being has that are similar to mine and allow them to sort of like lead the way. And then the character traits that I think he has that I don't normally lead with, I discover the potential for them to exist inside of me and allow that to come to the surface. And it really is like, he is the reason she has this deep affection and love for him is because he's such a great guy. And I love him. I love playing him. I think he's the perfect example of like what every man should be. He's wonderfully masculine and sort of well-traveled, but sensitive and kind and considerate. So it's kind of me acknowledging that I have some pretty good parts in me too, and allowing them to lead the way, I think.
Awesome. So it's mostly yourself in the role. It's not, you're not doing like a Clint Eastwood impressions.
No, I read, what was really useful was the first time I read the novel, which is beautiful, by the way, was during rehearsal. I borrowed our director's copy of it, and it just so happened that coincidentally, whatever we were working on in the rehearsal room happened to be the part of the novel I'd read the night before. And it's always the case, you know, anytime that a book is adapted to be a movie, you miss a lot of the detail. The same with a screen to stage adaptation. You can't incorporate everything. And so to actually be able to read all of the nuanced detail that the author wrote and let that inform the work. A good example is, you know, Robert really wanted a companion. He wanted to have a dog to travel with him, but he knew because he was traveling so much that it would be unfair to the dog. And so he names his car Henry or Harry, because his car, his truck is his companion. And we don't talk about that in the musical, but that sort of idea informs me of the type of person I am portraying, you know?
Gotcha. And a similar question, you know, Meryl Streep is equally iconic, arguably the greatest actress of all time. So, Todd, you know, dish on your co-star there at Signature Theater and how maybe she makes it different from the iconic Meryl Streep.
Yeah, there's I've worked with Erin briefly. Erin Davey is playing Francesca. She's astonishing. It's really, really hard to be able to find someone who can live up to the acting standard of Meryl Streep and then also be able to sing this beautiful soprano Jason Robert Brown score.
And Kelly O'Hara. I can't just say Meryl Streep. Kelly O'Hara in the stage version, too. I mean, those are titans of stage and screen right there.
Exactly. And although the show didn't run very long on Broadway because of the score and because of the cast, it kind of has this almost iconic reputation. People are like, oh, the Bridges of Madison County. I mean, the profound effect it had on me, it stayed with me. And so there are people coming to see our show who know nothing about the story and they fall in love with it. There are also people coming to see the show who have very high levels of expectation. And fortunately, we don't disappoint because it is so uniquely our production because of the design. And there's only eight of us in the full onstage company. So like the audience get to see this very simple story be told with so much nuanced detail that they end up really getting to know these characters well and caring about us, you know? The unique thing about this story is that unlike I think every other story I've been in, every other show or TV show I've been in, there's no villain in this. It's like everyone is a good person and the conflict comes from just decisions that are really hard to make. It's very easy for anyone in the audience to identify with someone within the story and they can project themselves onto it and really assess what it means to live life with ambivalence. You know, I could do this or I could do this. Do I stay with my family? Do I go with this wonderful human being who I've just fallen in love with? And the struggle of that. One of my favorite lines in one of my favorite lyrics in the show is, it is hard, it is insane to place one love above another, but what a choice and what a gift and what a blessing. Like, to look at the fact that, you know, she had this difficult choice to make to stay with her family or to be with this guy who she fell in love with. But what a blessing to actually have that option in the first place, you know? And so it just shines a light on what it means to love and be loved. And that is relatable, I think. It's something we can all identify with or crave.
Well, I want to go back to something you said a few seconds ago regarding the music and how it sort of, like you said, that you have, since it didn't run on Broadway very long, you know, it wasn't like an iconic quote unquote Broadway musical that ran forever. It was like a short lived, you were saying it's almost become like a cult classic among, you know, musical theater folks and diehards. So let's go explain why you think that is. Let's go into some of the songs. Like, do you have a song or two, or if there's anything in general you want to say about the music of why that, even though it was short lived, it became this cult thing?
I think the orchestrations, it's not, I mean, the actual composition of the music and the lyrics is so beautifully poetic, but the orchestrations support that. And there's so much that you can do to establish tone and sort of like storytelling with the decision of what instrument is going to be used. There's a lot of cello in our story, in our show, and that kind of has this haunting, painful sound to it, right? Da 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 da. And it, like, the music never really goes where you expect it to go, so it keeps you invested. And so then when you have these beautiful orchestrations supporting the most profound lyrics that I've ever, he is the modern day Stephen Sondheim, in my opinion. It's one of the greatest scores written in the last decade, without a doubt. And yeah, that's basically what makes it so epic, is that people can get lost in this music. They're not being sung at, they're just receiving this storytelling through beautiful music.
The next generation Stephen Sondheim. That is high praise for Jason Robert Brown. But, you know, I mean, there's the accolades back up your claim. I mean, gosh, he won the Tony for Parade for original score back in 99. Yeah. Then he follows up with the last 5 years. I don't think that won the Tony, but it won Drama Desk, I think, awards. Yeah. And then, as you mentioned, wins the Tony again for original score for Bridges of Madison County. Not to mention everything since.
I think it's important to acknowledge that, like, the show's success, in my opinion, shouldn't be defined by whether it runs on Broadway or not. Broadway is an economic model that is near impossible to actually conquer, you know? Yeah. I think it's something like 70% of shows never recoup their initial investment. Mm-hmm. And that's probably changed to be even higher since the pandemic. You know, it's a tough climate. And so just because Bridges of Madison County didn't have the run that Wicked has had on Broadway doesn't mean that it isn't a fantastic musical. Some of the greatest, let's use Parade as an example. That was not a hit on Broadway. And look what it's just done in the revival on Broadway with Ben Platt and Michaela Diamond, because maybe now is a more appropriate time to tell that story. Maybe now, for whatever reason, there's more of an audience for that. And the same could be said for Bridges of Madison County. It didn't run, but the response that we're getting from our audiences here at Signature is that, like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Almost a surprise for a lot of people too. Like, how did I never see that? So it kind of works in your favor in that regard.
And for everybody to be leaving saying, like, I can't believe you only have another 3 weeks of this run. I need to tell everybody to come and witness this, because it didn't, you know, it does. It's not like something that can keep going on tour, like Into the Woods just went on tour, or like Wicked is always on tour, and The Lion King. Bridges of Madison County doesn't necessarily have that commercial appeal. And yet when people see it, they want the people that they care about to witness this thing too, because it's that good.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's the timing is everything, but the shows themselves remain, like you mentioned Parade or this, like the shows themselves are the same great shows. It's whether the timing and the universe is ready for it. Sometimes they're ahead of their time, or just the timing of everything, of how dollars and cents works out, that the show itself is the same show, same great show. I have more than enough to work with, but I guess, you know, because you went into the music and the story and the background and everything, but I guess the only other missing piece is, you know, visually, I mean, there's these covered bridges, obviously, in the book and the movie and in the Broadway show. But how is that? How is it visually brought to life on stage there at Signature? Are there backdrops that show these covered bridges, you know, in the costumes, the period piece costumes? Or, yeah, what do we got visually?
Our designers have done a phenomenal job. Apparently, Signature Theatre recently did a survey with their loyal subscription audiences about what are they like most about coming to see shows at Signature. And the thing that was at the top of the list was that you never know what the theatre is going to look like when you walk in, because it is basically a big black box that they can reconfigure for each of their productions. And they do. I worked here 8 years ago on a show that was completely different. This set is basically set almost like it's on a bridge. So the playing space that we, the actors, work on is a strip down the middle with bleacher style seating either side. So the audience are looking at each other with us down the middle, which in itself is very unique. On one side is sort of Iowa, the kitchen of the farmhouse where a lot of the action takes place. On the other side is like the neighbor's house or Italy where a lot of the action takes place. And then we have these benches that line along the side, and without revealing too much, they then get transformed to become the Roseman Bridge, which Francesca and Robert visit. And we talk a lot about the simplicity of life in Iowa and how there's a community there who care about each other, but also they all know each other's business. And so for this kind of wonderful high stakes love affair to be happening with the audience watching each other, watching it, it's kind of this thrilling, like they become the citizens of Iowa and it feels high stakes and dangerous and wonderful and important. And as far as acting in that space is concerned, it's great because we don't have to take care of the audience because our back is going to be to at least one person all the time. So we can just exist and the audience are like flies on the wall of our existence, you know? It's thrilling.
For sure, for sure. Well, thanks so much for doing this. I definitely have more than enough to work with, so I appreciate your time. Again, it runs at Signature Theater now through September 17th. Is there any chance that you mentioned people are like, I can't believe it's only a couple more weeks. Is there any chance it's going to get extended, or should we say hard out on September 17th?
No, because Signature has a wonderful calendar of shows ahead. Their season, you know, they're about to go into Ragtime over the holiday season, and then Hair is their big production in the spring. So no, we are here for a limited 6-week run that we're already halfway through, and that's part of the joy of doing a job like this, is that, you know, we're not trying to find investors, we're not trying to transfer to Broadway, we're telling the story because it's a story that deserves to be told, and it's as simple as that.
Okay, great. Again, it's now through September 17th at Signature Theater. Hey, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, Jason. Nice to meet you, bud.
All right, bye.